Thank you. Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today to hear your word. We know, Lord, that it is your word and not our word. We oftentimes want to go our own ways and we have our own thoughts, but we pray, Father, that your thoughts would be the ones that we hear today and that you would convict us in our hearts and stay with us as we know you will from this psalm that was just read. Lord, you're always with us. We thank you for that, that your word is powerful and has an effect on us. And we are used as your vessels to carry it out. We pray, Lord, that you would make each one of us sitting here today a vessel for your word, that others might hear your word and come to know you as their Savior. Be blessed in other ways that they need it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the kitchen, and Johnny was sitting at the computer outside the kitchen, and I said to him, what are you doing? And so he said, Jeremy Lin is tearing it up against the Nets. And I said, Jeremy Lin, who does he play for? And he said, he plays for the Knicks. And I said, well, since when? Because we used to follow him when he was at Harvard. And we kind of lost track, or at least I lost track of this young man. And he said, yeah, he's tearing it up against the Nets. And I said, well, this is amazing. And I was thinking, wow, I get to go and see Jeremy Lin sometime. He's in New York, and it was really amazing. And for those of you who don't know this guy, I want to just give you a little bit of history. 2 weeks ago or so, he was sleeping on the couch of his brother, who is I think he's a dental student at NYU, and he was struggling to get picked up by some kind of a team. He's a basketball player. And he was trying to get picked up by some kind of a team because he was let go by the Golden State Warriors one time and then by the Houston Rockets. And that's where I kind of lost touch with him. And I didn't know that the Knicks had picked him up. Well, they didn't give him a very good contract, or they didn't give him any contract really guaranteed at all. And so there he was sleeping on his brother's couch playing in Madison Square Garden, which is in New York. And if you have a chance to go there, I highly recommend it. It's an exciting place to play. But anyway, the Knicks, 2 weeks ago, were one of the worst teams in the league. They had a reputation as being a team that didn't play well together. They weren't playing as a team. They were a bunch of high-paid athletes who were ball hogs, and they just cared about their own records and their own stats and things like that. Well, on that day that Johnny was watching him tear it up against the Nets, things changed drastically for the Knicks, and they changed drastically for Jeremy Lin, because something really miraculous happened. And that's the kind of word that's going around on the radio. I listen to the radio when I drive in the car, and I'm listening to the fan, and people were using words like it's a miracle. And I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that were these talk show hosts who usually don't really say very godly things. But there they were talking about God and how God had worked a miracle in this kid's life and how this kid had brought life to a team and brought all these good things to them. And it was just an amazing story. And they, up until the other day, they hadn't lost a game since that day 2 weeks ago. They finally lost one game, but they had won seven straight games with two of their best players, two of the highest paid players, not playing. One of them was hurt. The other one had a tragedy in his family, and he couldn't play. And there was Jeremy Lin, and suddenly there was this feeling of teamwork and of excitement, and people were buying tickets. You couldn't even buy a ticket to go and see a Knick game. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do? Okay, it's a little quiet. But anyway, so I want to share some of the things that you probably haven't heard, or at least these are the things that I heard and really meant something to me as I experienced this whole thing of this young man. First of all, his skill. He had a tremendous skill, and I knew that even when he was playing at Harvard. But this was different. This was different. He somehow was playing at a level that I think even surprised himself. And people were describing this skill that he had for passing the ball and taking shots and winning games with winning baskets and things like that, passing the ball with real excitement, getting the whole team involved. And there he was doing that. But his skill was very evident. The next thing that came out was his intelligence. I mentioned that he went to Harvard. And he wanted to go to Stanford, but he went to Harvard instead, and he got a degree there, and he came out and he wanted to get picked up in the draft, in the NBA draft, and play basketball. That was his real passion. But he was intelligent, and it came out in the game as well. He could pass the ball, he knew the game inside out, he had a real feeling for it, and his coach could depend on him to run plays and have him pull through with him. The other thing was that he was a team player. It was obvious that he was someone who wanted to get the entire team involved. He didn't just shoot the ball himself, but he passed the ball, and he got everybody involved, and that's what really brought everybody together. They had a sense that something special was going on, and they also respected him. One of the main things, though, is that he had a faith in God, and he was very outspoken about it. He wasn't outspoken about it in an obnoxious way. He was outspoken, and he is outspoken about it in a real way. And I think that that's the thing that most people have taken to heart. The players on his team, the press in New York, who can be brutal on people, and they were suddenly talking about God on the radio. They're talking about God and faith and miracles and all of those different things. Something was going on. It was really crazy, but he had a faith in God, and one of the verses was from the passage from the responsive reading that we read today. That was one of the verses that he mentioned in an interview with him, that God had been with him during times of suffering, and it built up this character in him and helped him through that time, and this fruit came from that suffering that he had been going through. It was very thrilling to listen to that, and I got to tell you, as Christians, especially being in an Asian church, to have a person like Jeremy Lee come through is very important to us. It's a very important thing that's going on, and it's pointing to God. And this young man is pointing to God, and everybody around the world is hearing about it. I was listening to I don't have the cable for the game, so I was on the computer, and they have this kind of a thing where the blog would come up. Someone was telling everybody what was happening, like play by play, and it was very exciting to follow along with that, you know. But these were people from all over the world that were getting involved in this because they heard about him. And so it isn't just the fact that he was playing well and the fact that the Knicks were playing well, it was the fact that he was outspoken about God and how God had helped him in his life. The other thing that struck me about him was his humbleness. He was a person who, after the game was over and after they had won, spoke to the people about how his teammates had done well and how his coach had given them the right plays, and he included everybody in the press conference, and he kind of deflected the attention away from himself in a very honest way, and people really took to that and admired that. He gave God the glory for things. He said, God was the one who has helped me through here, and God is continuing to help me, and this is really a miracle of God, and God is a mysterious God, and he works in mysterious ways. There's one other thing that he really struck me with, and that was his courage. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever tried to take a shot on a basketball court, but it's not an easy thing to do. And even getting the guts up to take a shot, you know, in front of a small crowd is one thing, but when you're standing up there suddenly and shooting the ball as a leader of the team in front of 20,000 screaming fans in Madison Square Garden who are all expecting you to be, you know, the next Michael Jordan, that's a completely other thing. I can tell you it's a hard thing. I know that I've been involved with sports, at least as someone coaching it and trying to encourage people to come out of themselves and to shoot the ball. And it's very hard for people to even get the courage up to do that. But he was doing that on a regular basis. And so it all pointed to something greater going on inside of him. It really pointed to something unusual that had happened. And I believe it's very exciting for us to see that happening. Now, one person came into my mind from the Bible. There are many people that he reminded me of. But I have to say that the one that came into my mind most strongly was David. David was a man of courage. He was a young man. He was a young man when he was taking care of the flocks and taking care of the sheep. But he was a very, very courageous person. And he gave the credit for his courage and all of those things that he possessed to God. He was outspoken about who was responsible for giving him the abilities that he possessed. And so he knew God was real. You know the story about how he went to go against Goliath. And he stood up there and he said, "Who is this guy who is belittling our God, the living God? I will fight him. I will fight him." And he said, "I have gone up against lions and bears, and I have killed them and driven them away from the flock. And the reason for that is because God has been with me. So I will fight this man because I know that our God is real." And this kind of courage is the kind of courage that I think that God is calling us to today. David, through his courage, through his belief in God, took action to stand up for what he believed in. And I believe that that's necessary in our world today. Now, I want to go back to Jeremy Lin for just one second. There was one thing that was mentioned that really grabbed my attention. I think that this is the real thing that we want to focus on today when we get into the scripture. One of the guys went up to, wait a minute, this was a case where the reporter was simply talking about Jeremy Lin. And he said, "Jeremy Lin is making a big impression on everybody these days, and he is a really great player. And we don't know how long he's going to keep this up, but the trickle-down effect of this young man playing in this way with his humbleness and his courage and with his faith in God is going to have much greater implications for those around him and for this world." And that was a reporter. He didn't say it as a Christian reporter. That was a reporter who saw him in that way. And I believe that there's a lot of wisdom in that, that there is a trickle-down effect that God uses when he has people like Jeremy Lin, that he used when through David, and they have a far greater effect on those who come after them and those around them. And that's the way God works. You see, we have people like this, not just simply to watch and to take pleasure in, but we have these people to learn from how we can be more effective in our own Christian lives. And that's really what I really feel that he is doing. And inside of that, when you listen and you see him with his fellow players on the bench and talking to them and the way that they're reacting to them, something special is going on. And I would like to say that Jeremy Lin is ministering to the New York Knicks. He is ministering to the New York Knicks. He wants to be a pastor someday, and he's admitted that. But right now, he is not only playing well, he is not only professing God as his God who can do all things, but he is ministering to a bunch of players who are used to money being the greatest thing in their lives and people putting pressure on them to perform to high standards. And most of these guys are very worldly in the way that they look at things, and they feel abused even so that they're used for the fans who come and the money-making people and things like that. And what Jeremy Lin is saying is that there is a God in heaven who cares about you, and I wouldn't be surprised that he is telling them about his faith in Jesus Christ and wanting to bring them to know Christ as well. And that's what God is calling us to do. He's called us into this world for greater purposes than just what the world sees us as. He calls us to minister the things that are of God so that this world can be saved from its sin and that they can have eternal life and not just a momentary rush of a sensation and of having success in this world and having everyone love you. And that's what Jeremy Lin says if you listen to him online. He says it all the time. It's not about me. It's not about my playing. It's not about all these different things that you think are so important. It's not about my name. It's about God. And it comes through loud and clear. This belief that he has in Jesus is real, and people are able to see it because he deeply cares for them too. And the way that he shows it is by saying they're the ones that helped tonight to win the game. And it's the coach who has helped to win the game tonight. And if you listen to the way that these guys talk about him, you can see that. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be living examples of him. And that's what God is calling us to. Now, when we look at Psalm 23, a lot of times we think of this psalm in a way that is comforting, and it should be. It's a very comforting psalm. But I believe today that God wants us to see it in the sense that it is a powerful God who is a shepherd. He's a powerful God who is working in powerful ways, and he works miracles. and he can do things and bring someone who supposedly comes out of nowhere and shows us that he has been with this person every step of his life. And I want to tell you, especially the young people sitting here today, that I have been thinking about you all week when I read this. That you must know now, at your age, that God is already doing in your life things that he is preparing you for when you mature and become an older person. Every step of your life is going to be affected by the things that are going on now in your life, and Jeremy Lin is part of our life today. So we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to someone who is a young person. What more could we ask for as adults, older people, than to have a young man come forward and say, I believe God gave me this talent every single chance that he gets, and he's not ashamed about it. And he's not faking it. But you need to understand that it's not just Jeremy Lin. It's you. It's you as well that God is talking to through all of these things, and he's involved in your life, and he wants you to grow. He wants you to know about life-saving things that he has to offer. And this psalm of David trickles down from David in his life. It has this effect. It comes down from David so many years ago, and here it is before us, and God's word is right in front of us here, and he gave it to us to read today. And it has an effect of changing people's lives and saying, you're not alone, but there is a shepherd there with you, and you will lack nothing because of him. And he will give you good things that you can enjoy, and he will comfort you, and he will be a part of your life. But he is with you, and he is your shepherd, and he's guiding you, and that's what we all need in our lives. That's what we think of as parents, is we want to try to guide people in the right way, but we're powerless to do that. But God is not powerless. As long as he is there, we have every power that we need to feel confident in and have faith that things are going to go well for you. But you must put your life into his hands. You must make him your shepherd. You must say, Lord, be my shepherd and tell me which way to go. Tell me which direction to go in my life. Take me and lead my life where you want, not where I want. But tell me where I should go, and I will go there, and God will bless you for it. It's all there in this psalm. It's just all filled with these things of reassurance and of promise. And it's eternal. It's not just for this world. It's eternal. And that's what God is trying to say to us through these words. And he says, even through death. But I think that the thing that we need to remember most today, and that's where the sermon title came in today, is that we need to take the ball and run with it. We need to take the ball of faith and we need to run with it ourselves. We are not supposed to be spectators and merely take in the things that we see going on in this world, like with Jeremy, with the other people, like missionaries around, different examples of people that are involved like that. We are not meant to do it as spectators. We are meant to become workers. We are meant to become ministers because the world around us is dying. You and I, sitting in this room, are incredibly spoiled to think that we can have so much and yet we can do nothing to help anyone else to have what we possess. We cannot live like that. It is not meant that way. And Psalm 23 is not meant for us to simply say, Lord, come and help me to find the green grass. It's not about that. It's about a God who is powerful and wants us to be involved in the ministry that is going to bring salvation of Jesus Christ to the world. And we are not going to let this happen. We cannot let this happen, that we watch something so miraculous going on and simply turn on our TVs and say, wow, he won another game. There's work to be done, and the harvest is great, and the workers are few. Will you be a worker for God today? Will you put away your own desires and your own dreams and say, Lord, what are my dreams? What are the dreams that you have for me? I want those. Help me to open my eyes to what's going on around me. Help me to be able to bring Psalm 23 to people and tell them that there's a God there, there's a shepherd there that cares about me. And the greatest thing that we can do is to speak out boldly about what we know and what we possess. We possess a shepherd who is the good shepherd. We have a shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. And that's what Jesus is. We have the greatest shepherd that anyone could ever know or want. And that is the good news of the gospel, that there was a shepherd who took us under his care by giving himself over as a sacrifice on the cross. And that is something we need to meditate on today. And we need to take it to heart and say, who is it that you want me to tell that to, Lord? Who in my team, in my situation, in the community of friends that I have, in the community of church that I'm in the community of school that I'm in the community of work that I'm in? That's what Jeremy is doing, isn't it? Is he saying, you know, oh, I could never go to those guys. These guys are way, way beyond. They don't think about these kind of things. They would never want to talk about these kind of things. Carmelo Anthony, oh, he's just this incredible superstar. There's no way that I could ever have an effect on this kind of guy. God is saying, Carmelo Anthony is someone I want you to talk to about Jesus Christ, because I am the way and the truth and the life, and Carmelo Anthony is not going anywhere without me. And I have given him his talent and his skills and all the things that he does. So how many people do you know in your life like that, where you feel like, oh, I could never talk to them about that? How many people do we have in our own families who are struggling and have problems and don't know the Lord, and we're saying, oh, we could never do that. God would never have any hope for that. And I'm too close to that person. I could never share the gospel with them. That's just the wrong attitude. God is saying, no, I want you to go with them, and I will do it for you. I will speak the words for you. I will tell them. They need me, not you. And in this way, you can sacrifice yourself and show that you really understand what I did on the cross. I'm talking to myself here. So what do? We get down on our knees and we ask God to forgive us and to use us. What is some way that you can get involved in the church here? What is some way? Jeremy Lin was a Harvard student, and he was playing basketball, but he still found time to lead a Bible study. Is it time for you to get into the Bible with the intention of being useful in that way in our church and saying, you know what, I've been taught a lot of years here. Maybe I should get down, roll up my sleeves, and start to study the Bible. And God, use me in that way so that I could be useful to someone who's younger than I am or my age group, and say, I'm going to do that now. I'm not going to let the adults do it anymore. Why should they always be the one doing that? I'm going to start a Bible study. And I'm going to start a Bible study at my school. I'm going to start a Bible study at my work. I'm going to call up my family members and say, well, let's start praying together. Those are kind of things that God can do for us. He can set those things up. He can work through those kind of things. If you think of yourself any less than that, then I think that you've mistaken what God is saying to us. But we have to keep humble about it. That's a big message from Mr. Lin as well, is that we have to be humble about it. It can't be the kind of thing where you say, look at all that I'm doing, and let me use my great talents for this. It has to be God-driven. It has to be something where God says, I'm going to show you what needs to be done, and you need to follow my directions, and let me shepherd you that way, and let me lead you that way. Let me show you what you need to do. I'm going to stop there. I just want to say one last thing, and I'll give Jeremy Lin the last word. It was a game against Toronto, and you probably heard about this already, but it was getting down to the last seconds, and the Knicks had a big comeback. And they put the ball in Jeremy Lin's hands, and I'll never forget the call on the radio. The guy on the radio was screaming, literally screaming, get out of his way. Get out of his way. And what he meant was that everybody on the team just got out of Jeremy Lin's way, and he came down the court, and he calmly shot a shot that went in, and they won the game. It was incredibly exciting. And after that play, they went back into the locker room, and all the reporters came, and they were talking to them. And here's a young kid who had every reason to be full of himself and feeling great about life, and that I'm the greatest thing to happen to basketball. And the reporter comes up to him, and he says, Jeremy Lin, can you believe what's happening to you? And he said, no. And then he looked down, and he looked back up, and he said, but I know that there is an all-knowing God and an all-powerful God, and he can do miracles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for working miracles around us so that we can see how great you are. And we pray, Father, that you would give us conviction in our hearts today to pray for Jeremy Lin and the great pressures he is facing so that he can continue to minister to us and to others around the world, to people on his team. And I pray, Father, that you would raise up workers just like Jeremy Lin and help us, Lord, to be able to be fearless because we have a great God behind us who is our shepherd, who gave his life for us. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to not be spectators, but to be workers for your harvest. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.